Jesus, when he was out there in the ship, the disciples woke him up and said, Master, do you not care that we perish in this storm? And Jesus gets up and speaks to the storm and says, Peace, be still. And then he says, Where's your faith? In other words, why didn't you do this? Jesus did say in John 14:12, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. How many of you today know that you're a child of God? Without a shadow of a doubt, you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Okay. If you do, if you'll walk in obedience to his word, these promises are all for you. But most people have never had the faith to do that. I learned these things from Jesus, just like this man told me they learned them listening to me, but they really learned them because Jesus is the one that told me. It's in the word. He told all of us, but I just happened to believe him. And so I believe that if Jesus told me that greater things than these that I've done shall you do in my name, I believe I can do that. I believe I can do that. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, start with verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Now, how many of you like to be chastened or disciplined by God? I'm not sure I like it. You know, because it's painful. Now, how many of y'all liked it when Dad got the board out and said, Son, I know this is going to hurt me more than it does you. I didn't like that. Did you? No. When Dad tries to tell me, Son, this hurts me more than it does you, I thought, Dad's crazy. I'm the one that's going to be hurting. Oh, my goodness gracious. I had no idea what Dad meant until I got grown and had my own children. When I had my own children, then I hated to have to spank one of my children. And it did hurt me worse than it did them, I know. But they didn't believe that either. So, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. If you never chastened your children, you really didn't love them. We've had books written in the last few decades about never discipline or spank your children. That's some of the worst stuff that's out there. But this says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. You can be assured that somewhere along the line, as a son of God or a daughter of God, God's going to discipline you, because I can assure you, living on this earth, you're not going to do everything exactly the way he wants you to do it. You may be trying to do it pretty good, but you're going to make some mistakes. I'll just give you a quick example what I'm talking about, being disciplined. How many of you know what Philippians 2:14 says? Philippians 2:14, in everything you do, stay away from what? Complaining and? Grumbling. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you do everything without grumbling and complaining? You all know we grumble and complain, do you not? It's too hot today, or it's too cold today, or it rained too much today, or whatever. We can grumble and complain about everything, can't we? The car is too hot. You know, I mean, the road's too rough. Oh, my, everything in the world. I think about people said, I ain't going to church because it's too hot. I think about those people down in Africa that walk 15 miles across barren 110 degree weather and then set out in the sun to go to listen to Reinhard Bonnke preach for 2 hours and then pray for the sick. And I'm thinking, people won't come here because it's too hot. Oh, my goodness. Like I said before, you know what we are? Oh, are we a bunch of wimps? I'm one too. You know, unfortunately, you know, we have trained ourselves to be wimps in this country. We're not tough like we used to be. If the Lord tells us to do everything without grumbling and complaining, none of us do that, do we? Do we grumble and complain once in a while?
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, well, let me tell you what. You know, here I am supposed to be the pastor of the Living Savior's Church, supposed to be the man of faith and power that obeys God's word in everything. That's what I'm supposed to be. Is that right, Bill? That's what I'm supposed to be. Unfortunately, I'm still just a man. You know, and unfortunately, I make mistakes. Well, one day, Dave and I went out here in the little airplane, and we were going to go for a flight, and we took off down the runway, and the airplane cut out a couple of times. Whoa! And that's not exactly what you like in an airplane. So I didn't take off. You know, we went down to the end of the runway, we turned around, we went back, and it ran good all the way back. We turned it around all the way down. We went about 4 trips up and down the runway. It never cut out again. I said, Dave, I don't know what's wrong, but God's trying to show us something. How many of you believe that if God let that engine cut out, there's something wrong you need to find? So I said, we ain't going to take off. So we pulled it back to the hangar. I said, I'm going to take the carburetor off, I'm going to take the air cleaner off, I'm going to take the filters all out, I'm going to check everything in the gas line from the tank all the way to the end, through the filters, everything. Well, when I took the filters off, they were stopped up. I said, wow, where did this crud get in the gasoline? I said, there's my problem. So if that filter's stopped up, I'll just go on down line into the carburetor. I'll take it off and bring it up here to shop. You know, and of course, if you've never worked on an airplane, if you're not an A&P mechanic like me, you've probably never worked on an airplane. But an airplane, everything is little and tight and hard to get to. You can imagine that, right? Because they try to build them little and small so they can, you know, fly faster and higher with less power, burn less gas. So anyway, I took the carburetor off, and of course, I'm up there as I'm taking those nuts off. They're so tight in under there. I said, you know, gee, Lord, you know, this is so hard to get off. This guy should have made this a little easier. You don't realize what you're doing. What am I doing? My gosh, I'm grumbling and complaining. And do I know that God says no grumbling and complaining? You think I know that scripture? Yes, I know it. So I finally get the carburetor off. I bring it over here, and I'm in the shop on the bench, and I'm turning it over, taking the air cleaner off, and I'm there saying, "This, you know, this guy, boy, he really must have stayed up nights how to figure out to make this so hard to get to." And Dave said, "Pastor, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, Dave, I'm fixing to work on this carburetor and clean it." Of course, Dave and I are both engineers, you know, so we fuss at engineers. I said, you know, the engineer that designed this thing, he must have stayed up at nights trying to figure out how to make this so hard to work on. And I turned the carburetor over. Just as I turned it over, I hit the accelerator rod, and it blew a stream of 100-octane gas just as straight. It hit me right in the right eye, right in the center of the, and that gasoline run all down my face, and it just set me on fire. I said, "Oh, Dave," I said, "go get me a bucket of water." I said, "Lord, I need some help." And when I said that, the Lord said, "Son, I am fed up with your grumbling and complaining. You should have been praising me that I give you the knowledge to fly that airplane. You should be praising me that I give you the knowledge to work on that airplane. You should have been praising me that I give you the airplane. And all you're doing is grumbling about everything." And he said, "I'm tired of it." Oh, somebody says, you know, God would never do that to you. Oh, yes, he will. He did it to me. And then he told me what he had done. But does the scripture say he'll chasten me? He'll discipline me? And if he says, do everything without grumbling and complaining, and I'm grumbling and complaining, isn't that amazing how he works? You learn it right there in the scripture. Now then, what if he didn't discipline me? And I don't belong to him. I'm not his child. You know, when I was raising my children, well, if I saw my son go out there and playing with a little boy, and my son picked up a rock and throwed it in the neighbor's house and broke the window, I would be on him. Man, what do you mean? So, come on, I'm going to bust your old backside. But if that other boy, which was another guy's son, the neighbor's, he picked up a rock and throwed it in there, I might say, "Son, you shouldn't throw a rock through somebody's window." But I'm not going to discipline because he ain't my kid, right? I'm not going to discipline that boy. It ain't my place to discipline that boy. But if he's my child or my grandchild, then that's a different story. But if he's my grandchild, I'm going to go through my son first. You know, if my son don't discipline his son for doing something wrong, then that's just like when my grandbabies come over here. They come over here, and they love to come over here because I keep ice cream in the refrigerator all the time. I keep it there because they love it. So after school, they come by, "Granddaddy, do you have ice cream?" And they used to ask me. Now they know it's there. They don't even ask anymore. They just come in. But they first come in, first time they come in, they get a bowl of ice cream, and they'd go out outside or something, they'd eat it, and then they'd just come back, and or they'd lay the bowl down out there. I said, no, that's not the way we do it around here. "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "When you get through your bowl, you take it back to the kitchen, you rinse it out, wash it off, and lay it up on the shelf there on a towel, and then we'll put it in the dishwasher or whatever." But he said, "At my house, we leave it sitting down before we get through it." I said, "But son, you ain't at your house now. You're in Granddaddy's house, and Granddaddy has another set of rules." So I said, "When my house, the refrigerator will always be there. You can come in, get your ice cream, the freezer. You can eat all you want. Make sure you close the door, and make sure when you get through, you rinse out your bowl and put the spoon and everything up. As long as you do that," I said, "there'll never be an end to the ice cream." And so far, they obey me. Now, guess what? I guarantee you can go in there right now and find ice cream in my refrigerator, my freezer, because I love my grandbabies. But let me tell you what, when they stop obeying what I tell them to do, guess what? There ain't going to be no more ice cream. It's out till they start obeying me. Is that the way you do things? Sure. Is that the way God does things? Yes, it is. Guaranteed. Let's go back to Hebrews. Let's go to verse 7 and 8. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with a son. Why don't let's change that over into the NLT. This is so much clearer the way this is written in the NLT. Verse 7 in the NLT. Look at this. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who was never disciplined? Well, let me tell you what. Do we have children today that are never disciplined? Oh, my goodness gracious. When you raise up a race of people and you listen to Dr. Spock, you know, that's just one of the many books that was written about don't discipline your children. If a man does not discipline his children, then he's going to raise up a little devil, or I call him a hellion, a little hellion or a little devil, because they're not going to obey what you tell them. And if a child never learns authority at home, then they'll never learn authority in the world until they run into a police officer bigger than they are and they get put in jail or whatever. And that's how you learn. And we got thousands, tens of thousands of young men that are now, some of them are older, because they never were disciplined at home and they done what they wanted to do, and maybe they didn't have a dad. And that's usually the case when a child grows up without a father, and there's far too many of them today that's raised up without a father with no discipline. And so they do exactly what they want to do. So then they finally wind up one day getting put in prison. They get caught. They pay tickets. They do everything. And then they put them in jail. And when they put them in jail, sometimes they stay in jail for a long time. Somewhere along the line, they're going to learn discipline. And if they don't learn the discipline from being in jail, when they get out and do something stupid again, then they do something to a police officer one day and he kills them and their life's over. And that's the way it is. They never learned discipline. If you learn discipline at home, you will obey what daddy tells you to do.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Speak to the Storm, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online, or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.